heart. And the word of God lets us know greater is his faithfulness. How many know we serve a faithful God? Hey!
But now is Jehovah Elohim because of the covenant
that God is about to establish with man. So now it is who? Lord God. Amen. So verse 4 says, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth. When they were created in the day of the Lord God made the earth and heaven. Let's just skip down for the sake of time. I've been on this quite a bit. But if you notice, every act of forming now and making is no longer God, but it is Lord God. Right? Lord God because of the relationship and the covenant that God set forth. And just to make, we're not there yet, but in the third chapter, to let you know, it's the creative work and the covenant that God has. When Satan goes to Eve, he doesn't call him Lord God. He doesn't say it. If you go to the third chapter, he says, Satan said, have God said. Because Satan knew God was creator, but Satan could never have a relationship. Alright? Satan could never have a relationship with God. So Satan could never call him Lord God. Because there's no covenant relationship. But we're ahead of time. Just remember that Lord willing for next week. Amen. But let's go to verse 7. Alright? Verse 7, really, there's a lot in verse 7 more than what actually meets the eye. But verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, this Lord God that formed is the word. That's, why don't you all go to page, let me see. We have different pages here. Why don't you go to page 9? Okay? Page, well, you all are on page 9 here. Let me go to page 9 where you are. I have different notes. I would want to fill your notebook up with all my notes. Alright. But let's just go to 9. Say, note on Genesis 2:7 before we go any further. Do you all have that page 9? Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, Lord God formed is the Hebrew word yetzar, which means to form, to make, or to give shape like pottery. Right? To form, to make, or to give shape like pottery. And that's important because when the Lord God takes a rib down, if we skip down to see what it says, verse 22, right down almost near the bottom of the page. Yes, sir, he formed man. But when he took the rib, verse 22 said, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made, he a woman. Well, this word made is actually the Hebrew word bana, which means to build or to, it's not just forming, but it's building. So when it came to the woman, God had to put a plan together to make the woman. All right, so remember that. So he shaped man from the ground, and the ground, the Hebrew word for ground is adama, A-D-A-M-A-H, and that's where the name Adam comes from, because he came from the ground. All right. Now let's go back up. So we're going to go through Genesis 2:7 to show you all of how God, in the beginning, is a shadow and type for the end. All right. Things that happen in the beginning are a shadow and type for the end. So. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed. Now this Greek word, Hebrew word for breathe is nephah, N-A-P-H-A-C-H. It means to breathe, to give life to God first, man or first creation. Alright? So he breathed into man, and man becomes a living soul. Now if we compare that with John 20:22, so important, so remember we went over that the Word of God is here a little and there a little. You can't just read one scripture and say, okay, he breathed and man became a living soul. Because the first man is a type of the second man. The first creation is a type of the second creation. How many are aware of the second creation? Amen. If any man He did what? Breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now this Greek word for breathe is emphasios. Alright? And if when he breathed on them, he said, receive ye the what? The Holy Ghost. So the first man, our first Adam in creation, he breathed into him and he became a living soul. The second Adam, which we will go over, he breathed in him and he became a quickening spirit. Alright? So these two words for breathe in 2:7 and John 20:22, they're the only two times that these words are used in the whole Bible. Right? The first gave the first man life. The next breathe gave the spiritual man life. Well, how do we know that? If we go to 1 Corinthians 15:45, we keep going. Says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a
living soul.
The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Amen? So God was a, it was a type. As it was in the beginning, so it is in the end. So what gives us life in church is the Spirit. That's why the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of it. But the Spirit, when you breathe on him, it quickens our mortal body. Alright? So how do we know that this actually takes place? Now let's go to Acts chapter 2. And we will be coming back to, we will be coming back to portions of chapter 2. Okay? So Acts chapter 2. Now Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the what? Holy Ghost. And that's the new creation which was the what, Adam? The second Adam. Alright? So 2:22 says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and they received the Holy Ghost. Well, this wind is the Greek word pino, T-N-O-E, which means to blow or to breathe, or it's like the wind that was born. So when Jesus breathed on them, the Acts chapter 2:2 was a fulfillment of his prophecy. But where does it go back? To the beginning. Because without God and without breath, there is no life. As it was in the beginning, so it is now. Alright? So that was important to understand. It's more in that scripture than just man becoming a living soul. Alright? Remember, the types of breathe, right? There's only two times that he uses this in the whole Bible. For the first Adam that became a living soul. And for the last Adam who became a quickened spirit. Amen? So we all have that. And then on the day of Pentecost, they came as a glory man. Right? Goes back to the beginning. Alright? So now let's go, let's continue with the names and relationships. Now, Minister Simon brought out something that's really, that as we were talking today, that I think he's going to explain again about relationships, to let you know that there is a difference between a relationship and a name. Amen? So why don't you explain that again, and then we'll go through this.
What I was saying is, if I am in the Army and I work my way up to being a sergeant, when I'm at work and I'm in the midst of my Army compadres, let's say, if I'm a sergeant, I have a certain authority. So when I give an order, okay, because I am a sergeant, and they look at me a certain way, and that is that relationship, okay, I have authority to say something and it's done. When I walk into a room, they stand at attention because I'm a sergeant. Okay? Now, I'm still Justin, Simon. Now, when I leave that relationship, okay, and I go into the grocery store, I'm still a sergeant. I still have that relationship with those at work. Okay, I'm still a sergeant, I'm still Justin. So when I go into a grocery store and I am amongst civilians, okay, I don't carry that same authority, even though I still have the same title and I'm still the same person. So if I bark orders, I'm Sergeant Simon. If I bark orders in a grocery store, people are not going to respond the same way because it's not that same relationship. But I am still Sergeant Justin Simon. So that I wanted to bring out as a difference in relationship. I still have that authority, but if I'm not amongst that I have that relationship with, I don't carry that same weight outside of that relationship.
Amen. Yes, Sister Angel.
If you're going to the bank to cash a check and they want to know your identity, yes, I'm a mother, but I can't put down mother.
Right.
Yes, I'm an aunt, but I can't put down aunt.
Right.
Yes, I'm a sister, but I can't put down sister. They want to know your name.
Amen.
So in order to be baptized and be the bride of Christ, you must take on his name.
That's right.
So when people are baptized in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and they don't add on the name of Jesus, all they are doing is saying the titles of him.
And his relationships.
His relationships. And they are not saying his authority, his authorized title,
right,
which is Jesus.
Amen. Jesus showed him he had the authority in Acts 28:18. He said, when he came back, he said, all power.
Yes.
In heaven and in earth is given to me. That's a what? Authority. Then he said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in. The original text says my name. Right? It was painted and they changed it to the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But the name of the Father is? The name of the Holy Ghost is
Jesus.
And the name of the Son is
Jesus.
And actually we're going to get into all that in a little bit, so let me move on. Alright, because the name is so important when we realize what God is doing. So God uses names as a means of progressive, self-relevant revelation about who? Himself. Well, who does he reveal it to? To the church. So God uses names, and there are several different names for God. So when you read God, it's not always Elohim. Sometimes it's El, sometimes it's Eloah. It's a whole variety. Sometimes it's Elyon. And we're not going to get into all of that. We're going to deal with each case as we go to show that his names were a progressive revelation. But you know what the revelation was going to bring us to? That's what the revelation is going to bring us to, and we'll build up to that. Amen? So, if he did reveal it to the world, and if we go to 1 Corinthians 2:7-8, it's a progressive revelation about his what? Name. But who is the revelation going to be to? Those that are in church. Those that are not in church will not get it. So 1 Corinthians 2:7-8 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in name and in mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the
world.
So it's a hidden mystery. It's been ordained. It's been there before the world. Right? And not much of it says before the foundation of the world. Well, how do we know that the world can't receive it? He said, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So now we're dealing with the relationship, the law God part of the relationship, to show you how when God began to form things, there was a different relationship, but the same God. He didn't change. Because how many gods are there? It's only one God. But in relationship to the events that were occurring, there were different names of God. Amen? Remember that the scripture teaches that revelations comes from God. And let's read Luke 10, 21 through 24. Because it's so important. If you pray and ask God, the Bible says when the Spirit of truth is come, it will do what? Lead and guide you into all truth. So when you get the Holy Ghost, that's the truth. But in order for the Holy Ghost to lead and guide you into all truth, you have to be willing to follow. So a lot of people say, well, how come I don't get it? Because they say, well, I'm not sure that that's right. The Holy Ghost can't lead you to the truth unless you're willing to follow. Amen. So that's our heart's desire. Lord, lead me, and I will follow. So Luke 10, 21, we went over in Matthew before, says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto me. So he says, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. He's the Lord of heaven
and earth.
But he's also still the Father. Alright? He said, thou hast revealed them unto me, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal. So Jesus makes a play on word, because early he said the Father will reveal. But he knows that he is the Father, he said, I will reveal it. Right, so he's telling you, I am the Father. Amen? Jesus just made it plain on words. And before he did this, up in Luke 10, 18, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He's still talking about him as the Father. Because remember when Satan was cast from heaven, it was between the fifth and sixth day, there was no man. Right? God was still in creation. But he said, I beheld Satan. Well, if Jesus didn't come in existence and to have the marriage with the Immaculate Conception, how did he see Satan fall before man was created? So that's important to remember. All right. So he uses the term Father and himself interchangeably because he knows that he's God. All right. So then 23 said, and he turned him to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things which ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Now what we're doing is trying to develop the relationship between God and God. To let you know, Bible says in Deuteronomy 6:4, behold, O Israel, the Lord our God is our Lord. Who? The Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. We know that God has revealed through progressive self-revelation his true name to the church. And we went over this before. So let's just keep going. Let's see. God's true name is above all names. Right? And we went over I think a couple of weeks ago in Psalms 138. Verse 2, can you pull it up? Psalm 138, verse 2. And we're talking about God and the name. But there's something that supersedes God's name, and that is his word. So the name is extremely important. But you must have the word above the name. Because in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word was made. So you can have a name, but you must also have the word, because he has magnified his word above his name. Alright? You see that? God's true name is above all names. Ephesians 1 and 21. And this is all still showing you, Lord God, we not even going to get to the other relationships because there is so much to it. But Ephesians 1, 19, 21, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly. Now a lot of people say, well, what? Why can't we see him sitting on the right hand? That's just a sign of power. In the scripture, Jesus is going to say he's at the right hand. Jesus said he calls him the right hand of power. Right? There are several references he makes. He doesn't say the right hand of the throne. He said the right hand of power. All that is symbolic of his authority, and we'll get into that later on. But just remember that, not tonight. All right? So he says, verse 25, far above all. Far above what? Because we're in the present age, but there is an age to come, which will be the what day?
The seventh day.
So his name is above every name and every. Indeed, I don't know if everybody has a cop on high. Can you turn it off? Are you on high? No? All right, never mind. Let me just see if my dad was on high. They always say up here in the book there's a hot place. Y'all ever get too cold, just go up here and preach the word. Alright? So, every name that is named, now let's go to Philippians 2:8. We're going to establish a relationship of Lord God. Alright? Ephesians 2:8-11. It says, and this is Jesus, that being formed and fashioned as a what? Man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. One God, one Father of all, who is above all, through all, and And that's why Paul writes in Romans, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, well, it just says that the Father's going to be in us. All right? So we keep going. For example, in Exodus 6:3, God says, and I did unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of what?
God Almighty.
God Almighty. That's a different relationship, but we're not going to get into that yet. God Almighty, is that the same as Lord God? He said, well, by my name, Jehovah, because I not know. So all the way up, he said, wait a minute, you knew me, but they did not know me as Jehovah. Amen. So don't look confused to me, man. You're old time. Well, he said, hey, you might have known me, but you didn't know me by my name, Jehovah, because that's a different relationship. Mm-hmm. But he said, I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, and I'm the God of
Jacob.
Okay? So y'all still with me? He said, was I not known? Verse 4 through 8 makes clear that the significance to Israel of the name Jehovah was associated with his redemption and salvation. Because they knew him as the Lord, Jehovah, but they did not know him as a redeemer and a savior. Relationships. Right, y'all, you all with me? Is everybody understanding that before we go further? Alright, so let's keep going. Now, Exodus 6:4-8 says, and I have also established my covenant. He established his covenant with them, but they did not know him by his saving name of Jehovah. My covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan and the land of their pilgrimage when they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Now the Lord is supposed to be Jehovah, and I will bring you out from under the heaven, out of the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will
redeem you.
I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. And I will take you to be a people. Let's go down to verse 8. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I swear to give it to Abraham, that I have given to Jacob, and I give it for your heritage. I am the Lord. But he said they did not know him as Jehovah. They knew him as God or cultural relationship. They're all different. Amen. We know that Abraham did use the name Jehovah in Genesis 22:14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As you said today, in the mountain of the Lord shall be seen. And Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. And that's later on too. However, God did not make known to him the full significance of his name in his redemptive aspect. Alright, so they know, but not as Jehovah the Redeemer. So in Exodus 6:3, God promised to reveal himself to his people in a new way. That is, he began to associate his name with a new understanding of his character and presence. Right? It's a new, it's the same Lord, it's the same God, they're all the same, but they are different what? Relationships. Alright, we're going to get into this a little further. Alright, we're going to see that. Now, he says he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but remember when Jacob was wrestling with him, he said, what is your name? Well, how could you not know his name if you know him as the Lord God, the God Almighty? Because everything about God's relationship was progressive to bring us to the name. Well, what is the name?
Jesus.
Alright? Spirit of God, you kind of confused me, you got it? Okay. Alright. Alright. The use of names in the Bible times, especially in Old Testament times, carry much more significance than it does today. People often use names to reveal something about the characteristics, history, or nature of individuals, and God did too. Thus, God changed the name of Abram, which means high father, to what? right? God gave the name Isaac. Isaac means he laughs or laughter. Why did God name him Isaac? Right? Let's keep going. Because both Abraham and Sarah laughed in their hearts, not out loud, but in their hearts, when he told them that they were going to have a child in their old age. Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 years old. And if you go to Genesis 17:17, now we say, God doesn't just throw out names. He got like the name we got all kinds of names today, don't we? Names we mean. You got a Dishra, and a Dasa, and a Isaac, all kinds of names, right? But in Israel, and in the Old Testament, names meant something. Amen? So Genesis 17:17, then Abraham fell upon his face, and he what? He laughed, and said in his heart, just remember that, laughed and said in his heart, all right? He said, I'm hot, it's terrible, I mean. Then Genesis 18:11-12, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah, so Abraham laughed within himself. Sarah laughed within herself. Then if we go to Genesis 17:19, and God said, amen, who said it? God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear me a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name. You know what Isaac means? Laughter. Right? So Abraham laughed, Sarah laughed. So God said, I'm going to remind you of the fact that you gathered me. Because guess what? Sarah and Abraham knew Isaac meant laughter. So every time you see the sun, you're going to remember you laughed in your heart. See, so God does things for a reason. Amen? Now, let's keep going to page 13. We're doing really good. Names are titles of God in the Old Testament. Below is a list of the primary words used to designate God in the Old Testament. I'm only going to use two of them tonight. But altogether, I think there's 11. But so that you all can sneak ahead, I cut it off. Each week, when we get to them, we'll get to a few more tonight, all right? So, in English, we read God. In Hebrew, we read Elohim. Genesis 1:1, all the way up to Genesis 2:3, he is Elohim. Elohim essentially means creator of what? All things of the power of creation. And John 1:1-3, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything that made that was made. Now we're talking about the beginning. We're talking about the Elohim. Well, the Word is the Elohim. Because the Elohim is the power of creation, of the creative power of God. So it says that the Word, who we know is who? Jesus. Because the Word was made. That all things were made by the Word. And without the Word, was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1:15-17. See? Now the Word is the image of the
God.
Of who? The only part of God you will ever see will be
Jesus.
The invisible God, the firstborn of
every creature,
for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by Him. And the fourth verse is Lord God. The fifth verse is Lord God. The seventh verse is Lord God. The seventh verse is Lord God. And the go keep going, the eighth verse, the ninth verse, the 15th verse, 16th verse, 18th verse, and 19th, the 21st, and the 22nd verse, all say Lord God as He is shaping, forming, and making. Amen. Even when He made the woman, then the Lord God put Adam to sleep. The Lord God took the rib. But the Lord God is also Jesus in the New Testament. Amen? All right, so now let's go to this. The Lord. While we know Him is God as creator of what?
All things.
Jehovah is the same God in covenant relationship to those whom He has created. Jehovah means the eternal, the immutable one, He who was, He who is, and is to come, because He is the eternal one. He always was, He presently is, and He is to come. Alright, you can read Revelation 4:8 says, and the four beasts, and each of them six wings about Him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And that is even a different relationship in the name, but we don't want to get there yet. Which and is, this is in the book of Revelations. Alright? Revelation 1:8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which
is.
Said to who? The Lord. How many Lords are there?
One.
How many Almighty Gods are there?
One.
Okay. Says the Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come be.
Almighty.
So Revelation 11 repeats the same thing. We only find the name God, the Elohim, was the plural intensive but singular meaning, the living God, the power of creation, and the creative plan from Genesis 1:3 to 2:3. Alright, that's what we find. But then we find the name Lord God in the execution or formation of the creative plan. And we went over some of this last week, but let me skip down to God. See where it says God only has one name, and that name has been secret until how many names have?
One.
But that name has been secret until now. All right. And Jacob and Samson's father asked the angel of the Lord, "What is?"
My name.
And it wouldn't say that, but that was an angel. We'd find out that wasn't the angel. That was God. So if we go to Genesis 32, we're going to read verses 29 to 30. And he said, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So if he was that God, they should have known his name, you would think, right? Because all God, everybody should know his name. But the scripture says in 29, Genesis 32, 29, and Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee. Wait a minute, he's your God. How do you don't know his? Because God's name was a progressive self-revelation to reveal the man that we're going to find out that it is secret. Amen? He said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. We know an angel can't bless, so they have to be who? God. He blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. He said, for right, so that was me. He realized it was God, but he still wanted to know, what is your
name?
What's your name? Amen. Now Genesis 13:17, it shows us even more that his name is secret. Alright? Verse 17 of 13 reads, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is? Well, what do you mean? All these Old Testament prophets and people, they didn't know who he was. They wanted to know what was his name because they realized everything about God was nothing more than a relationship. So they wanted to know the name because he said it had to be something more than the relationship, because we'll read about it a little later. I'm going too fast. I keep going. All right. So Judges 13:17, Manoah asks, what is thy name? That when thy saying come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why askest thou after my name, seeing it is
secret?
We're going to come back. Listen, we're going to skip the secret. Go down to verse 22. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely
die
because we have seen
God.
So the Lord said, no, the angel of the Lord. He said, no, we're going to die because we saw
God.
But they did not know his
name.
Right? So there is all a progressive revelation to bring us to the name of Jesus. Now we go back up. Secret is the Hebrew word pilei, which means wonderful. That secret meant wonderful, right? Then in Isaiah 9:6, he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called
wonderful.
Right? So it's all progressive. All of those relationships were progressive to lead us up to the name. Let's look, a close, let's look at a mighty revelation about the name of the Father. Jesus said, I'm coming my Father's name. Right? He said, I'm coming my Father's name. Now Jesus tells him, he said, I'm coming my Father's name. He said, but you need to do some searching yourself. Right? He tells him, he said, I'm in my Father's name. But if you don't believe me, you need to search the scripture for yourself. Verse 39 says, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have
eternal life.
And they'll live with. He said, all those scriptures tell you about me. Amen? And ye will not come to me. And ye will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my
Father's name.
If he said Father's name, what was his name? So what was his Father's name?
Jesus.
That's not hard to figure out. I'm in my Father's name. Guess what? I'm in my Father's name.
You
so guess what my Father's name was?
Yeah.
I'm just joking. Jesus wasn't no Jesus Junior. Just Jesus. But I am my Father's name.
Amen.
Right? My Father's name was David as well. So if I said, I come in my Father's name, who could guess what my Father's name is? Everybody know my Father's name had to be what?
David.
Now listen, you know about the name, but we ain't mess with that. So he said, I come in my Father's name, but then it gets better. All right. He goes on to say in verse 44, he said, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God alone? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuses you, even
Moses.
He said, Moses is your accusation. Why? He said, for that you believe Moses, you would have believed me. So all this stuff Moses writes, he was writing about me. Right. He said, so if you believe Moses, you'll believe me. Because Moses was writing because God's revelation was a progressive revelation to reveal the name, and the name was
Jesus.
He said, well, if you don't believe me, he said, well, just believe Moses. Right. That's why when Moses was on the mountain, the transfiguration, they said, oh, we're going to build a tabernacle for you, for Moses, and for Elijah. And the Bible said, the Lord said, this is my beloved son, hear him. He said, when they open their eyes, they said, oh, Jesus on me. So you want to be saved? Look at somebody say, Jesus on me.
Jesus on me.
Jesus on me, all right? We're on our last page for the night. Hey, we almost get you. Amen. So, as I heard, I think it was Bishop Nathaniel Mercy, they were going, actually, I don't know, let's years ago. They went to a Jewish school, and they were going through the Jewish school, and he was talking to the rabbi. You know, the rabbi was talking, but he was looking at all the light on the wall. So him and the rabbi had many debates, because the rabbi said that Jesus didn't come yet. He said, Jesus didn't come yet. So he kept saying, he says, rabbi, so he was taking, he was kind of sick. He kept taking the kids around, showing them all these names on the wall, and he kept saying, Yeshua. Right? So now this is the rabbi. Now the Jews don't believe that Jesus is God. So he kept saying, Yeshua. So he kept telling the children, he said, yes, they're right about Jesus. Right? Like, he made a rabbi. He believed in that. So but they kept saying, Yeshua. Who is Yeshua? In the Old Testament, they call him Yeshua. In the New Testament, Yeshua is Jesus. So he kept saying, so the rabbi's father said, he says, he's in the bishop, I get it. You don't have to say it anymore. We know Yeshua is Jesus. But how many of you can be so stubborn in your own way and still won't believe? Right? But let's go here. Yeshua, the name corresponds to the Greek spelling, which is Liesu, for which, through the letter Liesu, comes the English spelling Jesus, and the Hebrew Yeshua. Alright? So now let's go to Isaiah 12:2. We're going to break this down. This is where we find out some of the other names of God. Alright? But they are not the saving name. How many names are saved?
One.
Nine is our salvation name. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we
possibly
be saved.
Must.
But we must be saved. The Lord God is a progressive revelation for the name of Jesus. Alright? So Isaiah 12:2 says, behold, God is my
salvation.
Who's our salvation?
God.
And in the New Testament it says Jesus is our salvation. Because Jesus is God. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord is
my strength
and my song. He is also my song. Alright. In the Hebrew. The same thing in the Hebrew. Isaiah 12:2, the old God, which is El, which is the Almighty, which is He was, which is, and is to come. This is in the Hebrew, El. Alright? The Almighty is my what?
Salvation.
Which is my Yeshua, which is my Jesus. The Almighty is Jesus. See, who is this? This ain't the Greek. This ain't the Gentiles. This is the Jews themselves. It's a progressive revelation. So the Almighty is Jesus. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord, which is Yah, Jehovah in a special sense, meaning Jehovah has become
my
salvation. In Psalm 68:4, this is the only scripture in the whole Bible that uses his name, Jah. It says, sing unto God. Now this is the Elohim. We're going to talk about him as a creator. The relationship, you have to get it right. Sing praise to his name and know him that right upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. Alright? So that's his special. Now, it goes on to say, Jehovah, upon the heavens, I got so many different varieties here. I can't see the colors. I got blue, green, and black. Alright, so, now we got up to Jehovah, that is, Lord is Yah, I'm sorry. Then we up to Jehovah, which is Jehovah, the what? Eternal One. All of these are in one scripture. Eternal One, the immutable One, the all-existing One, is my Lord and my Son. He has also become my Jesus. So I tell you, God, the beginning of God, the Almighty God, has become my Jesus. The job of Jehovah has also become my Jesus. Right? And he said, when that rabbi, he finished going over the scripture with the rabbi, he said, Bishop, we get it, we know he's Jesus. But he's still in their own scriptures. Right? Their own scriptures tell us the progressive self-revelation of who God is, but they still didn't believe. Genesis 49:18 says, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. And if we break that down in the Hebrew, I have waited for thy Yeshua. I waited for who? Jesus. Right? And the scripture says, I believe it's in Isaiah, he said, our God shall come. Did he come? Yes. How did he come? Jesus. Amen. Exodus 15:2, the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him in habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. So if you go back, the Lord is also here, Yah-Jah, Jehovah, in a special sense meaning, Jehovah has become my salvation. He is my strength and song, and he has become my Yeshua, who is who? Jesus. He is my God, that's El, which is the Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come. And I will prepare for him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. So all of the names of God, a progressive revelation. Well, what's the name intended to do? They're intended to reveal to us who the Father is. Right? So it's so important tonight. And like I said, I do have more, but I didn't print it out for myself, so I can't even go there. But it's so important tonight that we realize in studying God's word, don't make one God all the same, because they have different relationships. But the only real relationship that counts to us as a child of God is the name of Jesus. Because there's no other name given on it. I mean, this is pretty clear. It says there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. But the name of who? Jesus. So it's so important tonight. Remember that all of God's names in the Old Testament are relationships. Those relationships are intended to lead us up to Christ. The scripture said the law is our what? Schoolmaster. And it was to lead us to Christ. Everything in the Old Testament were shadows and types of the New Testament, which brings us to Christ. Alright? And for the sake of time, and so we don't have to go any further, do we have any other questions? There's more that I can say in my head, but I won't say it because it's not on the paper. Yes, sir.
It's not a question, it's a comment. Is when I hear this, it brings me to a greater understanding and appreciation for how Christ loved the church. Because look at all these people, from Moses to David to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. These people didn't know his name. It was a secret to them. The scriptures talk about how he loved them.
And that's why God calls us the elect. You know, we're the elect because we're special. Because God has chosen the church above all others. We're special. Go ahead.
Some even spoke to face to face.
Yes.
And he kept that a secret from them. And even along with that, a greater appreciation and understanding, really, of the Holy Ghost. Because the scripture tells us how we only know these things through revelation, and we can't receive that revelation unless we have the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And then you go to how it talks about these all died in faith, not having received the promise.
That's right.
So how he loves us, because we have received the promise and the understanding, and we know what they strive for, what they cried out for, what they asked him directly, what is your name? And that he loves us, the church, so much that he gave us the Holy Ghost,
yes,
and that we know his name.
Amen.
That is powerful.
Yeah. Jesus said he wrote about me, and you all didn't realize it. Amen. If we have no questions, let us pray.